At this point, I believe Black Lives Matter sent out a email or sent out a correspondence with the community, just the activist community. And at this point, it's more so about self-care and making sure that our people, making sure that our actors, making sure that Black people around the country are doing okay, because this has been a very challenging few weeks. But I'm sure that within the next couple of days there will be active protests. We've seen that in Dallas. We've seen that in all over the country, these protests, these Black Lives Matter protests. Just still talking about these state-sanctioned executions that we've been seeing with what happened with Philandro and what happened with Alton Sterling. It's just reopening the wound that has never been really even healed or even talked about in American context. And so, once again, we're seeing this police brutality. We're seeing these police murdering unarmed Black women, unarmed Black men, and just unarmed, you know, Black trans people as well. So it's just, once again, this actual war that we've been continually seeing.
And so, for those who aren't aware, Black Lives Matter has been nonviolent. Obviously, the shootings in Dallas. We're talking on Friday, so things will develop over the weekend. I'm sure more information will come out, but I've already heard people concerned about, you know, what this does for the people who are against Black Lives Matter, that this will just add fuel to their fire. What are you doing as an organization, or what do you anticipate doing directly in response to the police shootings in Dallas?
Once again, our main concern is to help focus and help self-care for the Black people that were impacted by the police executions. You know, on July 5th and July 6th, America will always have the back of police. So, Philandro died less than 48 hours ago, and now the conversation is becoming, you know, what can we do for, you know, cops? I think when it comes to what happened, personally, I feel like, you know, we've seen this time and time again, state-sanctioned police executions, and I don't fault anyone for fighting the way they fight. I mean, at this point, we've seen violence, we've seen a lot of different strategies, but at the same time, can we really fault people for fighting any way they feel like they want to fight?
And so, does Black Lives Matter condone violent actions, though? I just feel like that's something that needs clarification at this time.
I'm speaking personally. When it comes to Black Lives Matter, it's just, I mean, when you say Black Lives Matter, once again, it's kind of like you have to remember that, you know, there's a difference between the actual network and the actual, you know, rallying call of Black Lives Matter. So, like I said, Black Lives Matter is an organization that works for the liberation of Black people. But in order for, you know, liberation, you have to have, you know, violence when it comes to a lot of different tactics. I mean, we've seen throughout history, like, anytime a oppressed group fights for their freedom, for their liberation, you know, it's rarely given to them, right? It's rarely, we rarely ask for liberation. It rarely comes to people who ask. So, but like I said, Black Lives Matter at this point is more so focused on fighting against anti-Black racism, white supremacy, and that goes with, you know, the police culture when it comes to police brutality. So we're still 100% committed to ending state violence in regards to how police our neighborhoods.
Getting back to Mr. Castile and Mr. Sterling, who lost their lives, one thing that's, you know, much different about Black Lives Matter movement and the message and the organizing is the huge role that social media is able to play now. And the video that Mr. Castile's girlfriend had the presence of mind to take in the wake of his being shot obviously was a tool. It was a way to really put people there on the scene. Can you talk about the effect that having social media, the way that intersects with Black Lives Matter? Obviously, it's been talked about a lot, but do you see it to, you know, continuing to be an important tool for you guys to use?
Yes. First off, when it comes to Landro, I think it's amazing that his partner had the, you know, had the idea of recording that. I think it's really huge the fact that, you know, a Black woman was on that scene and making sure that that story was told. And I think that's so huge and so critical in our movement when it comes to making sure our story is told from the correct angle, because truth is on the side of the oppressed. I mean, if that video hadn't surfaced, I mean, what would Philandro's case look like? What would Philandro's his story even look like after it's been dragged through media, dragged through so many different analyses on Facebook, so many different news outlets? So I think the video has a strong way of showing the truth. I think you've seen with exactly when it comes to Trayvon Martin, when it comes to so many Black men and women that have been, you know, shot down that, oh, he was this, he was that. Well, the video proves a different angle, an angle that you can't dispute. And I think when it comes to just what was going on with Black Lives Matter, what's going on with just grassroots organizing across the world, when you have videos, you just can't simply rely on what the state or what the government or what any type of governmental agency is saying based off, well, this happened, that happened. When you have the video, you know, you have concrete proof to say, no, that's not what happened. So I think as the years progress, as this movement progresses, as, you know, the fight for liberation progresses, I think media will be huge in people understanding our story.